Farmers is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
All right, everybody, you ready?
The chores!
The stores!
Fresh air!
Times Square!
You be my wife?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Ree Bobby, Uncle Bobo. Pull up a chair and lend an ear. Time for another episode of Free Farm Friday. All previous episodes available at CrusadeMax.com. That's CrusadeMax.com. You know what we ought to do one for one Free Farm Friday? We ought to get the version of Trump doing Green Acres. I forget what show it was on, but he did it. And he came out in a pair of blue overalls and a straw hat.
I have the picture somewhere.
You have the picture? Do you know what TV show? I know it was one of those variety shows, like America's Got Talent or something like that.
Right there. She's got it right there.
Okay. All right, so let's go to the Dude Maker Hotline. We're going to talk a little bit today about, let us see, a proposed initiative bans meat processing in Denver, offers those out-of-work assistance programs. You know what's the worst part about this? Well, maybe it's the best part about it.
What's the Emmy Awards?
Is that the Emmy Awards?
In 2008.
The people that are behind prohibition of slaughterhouses are the idiots that live in Denver. This is a citizen initiative. This isn't some demonically inspired or possessed politician wanting to kill everyone under his charge or enslave them into some sort of sorcery, some sort of adrenochrome pederasty. These are the idiot citizens wanting to kill it. Well, basically wanting to commit meat suicide. A proposed citizen initiative. Denver ordinance to ban any facility where livestock animals are killed to produce food could cost hundreds of workers their job. You see where they go right to, this is going to cost jobs. You know what else it's going to cost? Quality of living. You're going to have entire generations of children that are going to grow up malnourished. You know what? Can't think of a better set of people that it could happen to than the same day of due date delivery, abortion, craving, lusting after and performing wackos that live in Denver. You want to do this. I hope you do it. If it successfully makes it onto the ballot and passes, it would further offer those who lost their jobs as a result priority status in city-run employment assistance programs. The proposed title, Prohibition of Slaughterhouses, is currently in the signature-gathering phase and would prohibit the construction, maintenance, or use of any meat processing facilities in Denver beginning January 1st, 2026, as well as require the city to prioritize residents whose employment is affected by the ordinance in workforce training or employment assistance program. The legislative intent of the proponents includes seeking an increase in plant-based protein source. So, you will eat the bugs and fake meat. You know, at one point in time, Denver, Colorado was actually a red, crimson red city. And then a bunch of demons, a bunch of people who were possessed, obsessed, infatuated, etc., decided that they were going to ruin Colorado. Did you know that they spent, in 10 years, they spent $3 billion? BKB and I heard a presentation at a meeting in 2018 about this. They spent $3 billion over the course of 10 years to immigrate necromancing, demon-worshipping, asylum should be locked up in asylum lunatics into Denver to run for political offices. Began running very expensive campaigns against old school tratties, Colorado Rocky Mountain High people. And in 10 years, they took that crimson red state and they flipped that joker into a blue horror show. And I'm old enough to remember back in the day when you'd have a election night for the presidency. If you stayed up to watch the results or whatever, the first red state they'd put on the map was Colorado. It was an RSTONNE like on the Wheel of Fortune. As soon as they go, oh, polls are closed in Colorado, they go, ching, Colorado would go red. This is how evil works. So I'm not even going to oppose this. I'm going to challenge. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray that these lunatics actually get their way. Brian Koch, this is just abject madness, and I hope these people get their plant-based food, and I hope they get it hard.
Yes, and that would be a little bit of justice for them, because I think what's happening is you have these cities growing out to their peripheries, to where you have this industry and stuff on the peripheries that
right.
didn't stink and every, you know, whatever else. So you have that coupled with this meatless agenda, which, it's just kind of that perfect storm. And they are going to get it, and they're going to get it hard, because there's not going to be anybody around to bail them out or rescue them, or, you know, whatever they're going to need to survive. So, anyway, and before I go on further, good morning and hello, everybody.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Blessed feast of the solemnity of the Sacred Heart.
Yes, yes, I'm doing my penance today by going to Austin.
So. Dude, you don't even have to fast if you're going to Austin. That's all right.
I know. But I'm not going to fast, but we are still doing meatless, so...
So, we're not going to fast the whole day, but we are going to offer up the first half of the day here. This is almost a scene out of some dystopian movie, though, because you really do. There is a precedent for this, where the food that feeds the evil city in the movie is produced by people that aren't in the city. And then it all has to be trucked in, or, you know, it's got to be imported in and what have you. What these lunatics are talking about doing is all in addition to banning the processing facilities, to make it difficult to actually buy meat. And if you're, yeah. if you think this is your offering to Gaia, as they call it, this is your offering to the earth, you know what? I am all for freedom and liberty. You go right on ahead and go ahead and do that. I think that those northern counties in Colorado, the 6 out of the 11 that voted to secede in 2012, ought to just look at what's going on in Denver, look what the citizens, what the possessed people, the communists that are running the city want to do, and ought to go like, you know what? We're not waiting for you to vote on it. We're out. We're leaving. We are severing all political bands between us and them. Before you come for us and try to extend your stupid law statewide, which these people don't have, but that defies common sense. They don't have any common sense. They live in bubbles. They think hamburger is grown at a McDonald's store. they live in bubbles. Let them have it. Let them have it. Let them reap their own stupid whirlwind.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I wish more people would wake up to the fact of, like, why do we need to hold on to these things? Mm. I mean, they don't have any good. We're not going to change anything. Yeah, we might convert and pick off a few people here and there, but wholesale? I mean...
Dude, they are Gomorrah. They're Babylon. Yeah. They're Gomorrah. Let them go. Hey, you know, but I can tell you, why, Brian? The Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
But we won't have our football. Oh, cry me a freaking river. Got a high school team? Good. Friday Night Lights. Here I come. Let's go bring Mitter Mundy in. Mitter Mundy, good morning to you, old farmer. You live near the largest culprit of all this. You're within a very short driving distance of New Teaneck, Teatland City, but they're not even stupid enough to do this.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I wouldn't say that. They're not stupid enough to do this. Just give them time. As you say, it starts in the west and seems to move to the east. We used to go the other way, I guess, but I'm surprised at you, gentlemen. I'm usually the one that's not so charitable.
I am old farmer Mundy today, bro.
We all heard what Ms. Beeman had to say today. Perhaps if they, get some large enough concentrations of people like this who decide that they're just going to eat the bugs and the lab grown meat. Maybe they'll go catapult on themselves like the chickens do.
That's a thought. Well, then we have the Walking Dead.
That's right.
Some people might relish the opportunity to pop a couple of walkers in the head with a 12 gauge.
Well, who knows? Throw a hamburger at them. That might be the kryptonite they need. So I don't know. When I found that, I was like, I don't even know where the madness begins and the madness ends anymore.
Well, there is a guy who is, Representative Richard Holthorff, who represents northern and eastern Colorado, but is also a cattle rancher who is familiar with the industry, said this is about much more than activists pushing an agenda. He said the livestock industry is among the top two economic industries in Colorado, and successful passage of this ordinance will have a profound effect on the broader Colorado economy. It's a huge economic impact that will equal hundreds of millions of dollars, Holthorff said. It will restrict market opportunity for the sale of livestock, which in Colorado, Brian, is a $14 billion industry. So again, what is the alternative to these lunatics doing this? Because Denver is the capital. What's the alternative? Well, get out. Leave now while you can before they come for you.
And they're going to learn real fast why Colorado has a lot of cattle and grazing land. Because the soils and stuff aren't really fit for growing a lot of crops. You have certain areas and certain valleys where you can access water. But Colorado, that the eastern half of the state averages 12 to 15, maybe 18 inches of rain a year, if you're lucky. You can't, unless you're pumping water out of aquifers or getting snow melt, you're not going to be able to irrigate those crops that need a lot of water to grow. Corn needs a lot of water. And that's what they're going to try to base a lot of this, corn and soy. You need lots of water to produce it. So, yeah, it's asinine. But the thing is, I think if people on top are pushing for mass starvation and all this other stuff.
That's exactly what they're pushing for.
And they know if they can get meat out of schools, and that's where it starts with schools. There's an article the other day where I think I shared it where, they're completely taking whole milk out of out of schools and stuff. And again, if your kids are still in public schools and stuff, you're unless there's just no other way you can do it, you're contributing to the problem and part of the problem, and you're just perpetuating it because you just keep it there. I mean, it's crazy because it's across the board. But these specific examples like Denver really push it home and just show, first of all, how evil it is. So.
Well, listen to this, Brian and Dan. Among the businesses that will be directly impacted by the passage of the measure is Superior Farms, located on Clarkson Street. It's been processing lamb in Denver since the 1950s, so that's for 70 years. Gary Pfeiffer, Executive Vice President for Sales and Marketing for the company, said Superior Farms is still trying to wade through the measure and its impact on his business. Management at the 70-year-old Denver Staple only learned about the ballot measure a little more than a week ago. Quote, we are still gathering information on this. It just snuck up on us. We have only received basic info. The fact that it is this far along without any information on it is interesting. It will obviously impact us directly. Most of our employees live in the city. We are an employee-owned company. This is pretty distracting. Superior, now listen to this. Superior Farms is one of the largest lamb processing facilities in the United States, employing 170 people at its Denver plant. It originated in Colorado and expanded to California several decades ago. They not only ship their product out of state, but to most every grocery store and restaurant in Colorado that sells lambs. Restaurants, supermarkets in Colorado and Denver, if you see Colorado lamb on the menu, it probably comes through us. So you're talking about now, you're going to put the entire state of Colorado, basically, you're going to tell them all, we don't have lamb anymore. You should, look, as I said, you should get it, and you should get it hard. Dan?
The number one lamb state right now, I do believe, is Texas. So Texas will be happy to send their lamb to Colorado, won't they?
I guess they would.
Mike, this is a multi-pronged attack, too. So here, this is the first time I've seen this on this scale where they're actually trying to outlaw the processing of meat. But look what California did a couple of years ago with the animal quality standards. And again, there are some good reasons for it. Katie brought them up today. I guarantee you, if I put you and Ms. Church in a 10-by-10 room, you wouldn't stay as clean as you think you could stay. I mean, you have to be able to let the animals, and we talk about the proper way of raising them and giving them good conditions and getting away from the CAFOs and stuff like that. But on the other hand, they just arbitrarily saying, no, you're going to do it like this, and we don't care what the economic impact is. So a lot of people in California are like, well, I guess I'm going to go out of business. And then California takes the next step and says, we won't allow meat into the state that hasn't met the standards that we say it is. Like they're going to be able to police that, they say stupid things like that.
That is a tyranny. And by the way, put Midas Church and lock us in a 10-by-10. Midas Church likes gizzards.
So one of us won't make it, it's not...
Yeah, she eats...
Just saying.
Met her money, she eats gizzards, so you know what's going to happen to me? She's going to say, I ate his liver with a nice Chianti and fava beans. I am not going to make it. And my gizzards are going to go first. I agree with you. This is simply stunning. These are the citizens of a major city, the biggest one in this state. Hell, put a push pin on a map of Denver, Colorado. Take a yarn string and go out about 1,000 miles. Maybe even, you might even get to 1,200 miles. You're not going to hit a city that's bigger than Denver. These are the people that are running and live in this city saying, we want to die. We want our children to grow up malnourished. We don't want any incisor teeth shredding meat. Get it out. We want bugs and we want plants. Now, you may be able to have a civilization that has 5% of your population that has no active role in it whatsoever, chomping down on arugula and freaking corn, bean sprouts and tofu and whatnot. You can't have a working population that builds stuff and produces things that's not having a consumption of meat. It's necessary, Mr. Koch.
That is. And, I'm wondering, since they're outlawing lamb, what are they going to feed these all these ethnic populations they're trying to bring into these places?
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. They love their falafels.
They want Muslims. I mean, that's who's eating a lot of that stuff. And so, what are they going to do about that? are they going to try to create a jihad? But yeah, it's just what we have been discussing on how they don't really care about us.
No, they want human suffering and misery. They want us dead. Listen to this. I mean, I'm reading the story and I'm starting to get pissed off. In Colorado, the company Superior Meat works closely, Dan Mundy, I assume that this is the Land-Grant College, with Colorado State University Spur Program to sponsor youth events and urban outreach efforts. And they contribute more than 10,000 pounds of food yearly to local charities. So, you know, they even have solar panels on the roof of their facility. This seems like a good corporate citizen, and they actually are working with the land-grant college in Colorado kind of to teach the children about, okay, well, this is how your lamb is grown. This is how it is raised. This is how we harvest it and process it. So, and by the way, Brian Koch, what are we celebrating today?
Sacred Heart.
Yes. So, the Sacred Heart. What is that song that we sing, Agnus Dei? What are the lyrics to it?
Agnus Dei, Quatulis Peccata Mundi, Dona Nobis.
Well, what is an Agnus?
A lamb.
Lamb. Is it a coincidence that in the center of the United States, these evil bastards went after a lamb production facility? Huh? Coincidence?
I think you're stretching it.
No, I'm not stretching it, Maggie. No. Always follow the methodology here. This is an assault on Agnus Dei.
No,
yes, it is. It is an assault on the Lamb of God.
And that's but it's an assault on God all the way around. No matter, you know.
That's right.
The Lamb of God specifically, but
see
the what? But don't forget, you know, just God's creation. You know, it's an attack on creation, and you know it started with evolution and goes from there. So,
well, listen to this. There's not much hope because this is going to pass. The process and facility ban ordinance was submitted on April the 21st and approved for petition circulation on May 11th. Proponents have until November the 7th to collect a measly 26,000 valid signatures from registered Denver voters. These are same day, due date, birth date, abortion friendly people. They will vote for this. I'm going to predict this will pass by 70-30. They have until November 7th to collect 26,000 valid signatures. Proponents of the measure include Denver residents Catherine Klein, Ethan Kaiser, Lily Lou Lerner, Lois Brown, and Hannah Lowe. According to the Denver Elections Department, proponents have filed an intent to use paid circulators. In other words, they're going to do ballot harvesting. And we'll have to file financial updates. They're going to, look, you know, this is probably Soros money, or this is Gates money. This is dirty, evil, necromancing, rat bastard, Baphomet Bago, Beelzebub and the boys. This is dirty, evil money. They're going to go in there and they're going to buy themselves an election, and they're going to do this. I don't see any way this does not pass. You?
No, I think they're going to get, like, so they're going to get it and they're going to get what they want. But, Mike, I've got to run.
I know you got to get to your penance
and all this other stuff.
You got to get to your penance.
y'all, God bless y'all, and y'all take care. And we'll hopefully should be able to talk next week.
All right. Sounds good. And God bless you, too, and Suzanne and our beloved little Coke babies. Mid or Monday, I think this is going to pass. This is a fait accompli. This was not something that's a wing and a prayer here. They planned this. They got their money. They're going to go out there. They're going to do what's called ballot harvesting. That's basically what that story says. Democrats, when they plan something like this, they get their way. This is going to become law.
Well, I'm sure they targeted Denver for a reason. You know, I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, any place in New Jersey they could have targeted, but I bet you they've targeted Austin and Texas. We might be unpleasantly surprised, or maybe not, of you know what percentage it would be supported there. But you know, what's the end game? I mean,
human misery.
Like, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, part of it is through the ignorance of what we've done with teaching people, you know, and we're back to what I always tell you: people don't know why things work. They, you know, they're caught up in whatever bubble that they're living in, and they do not understand their implications or ramifications because they're too far away from it. And we've done that in this society, and people willingly are doing it. And at what point then is it going? Are we going to wake up? I mean, does it have to go to the an extreme point of misery, which it seems it has to, before people start, enough people, because there still are some of us, but enough people actually wake up?
Yeah, they're not going to get all of us. This is the thing. Just because they will it, and it is no dream, doesn't mean they accomplish it. They're not going to get all of us. And you're right. They targeted a urban demographic, a city with an urban demography that they that they have market research, they have focus group tested, and they are pretty well assured that they're going to get their way. This will then become the boilerplate. This will become the cookie cutter. So this is the model, and then they will export it out to Los Angeles. They'll export it out to freaking Seattle. They'll export it to St. Paul, Minneapolis. What an outrage. They'll do this in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They'll export it out to Chicago. Name the major U.S. city. They'll export this out, and this is how they will. You will eat the bugs. This is how they will try and force the bugs. Which all this means is that all of the activities, the beautiful activities like the Beemans have taught us about it today, Dan, that we're seeing and we're hearing about people out there homesteading, just keep your journals, keep track of what you're doing, and just keep practicing to get better. Because let them do it. Let them do it. The only thing that I fear is that after, when they start starving themselves to death, is that they pick up arms and come and try and steal our food.
Well, that begs the question, and again, how charitable do we be? That's a hard one to answer for me.
Charity does not include suicide.
I understand that, but I mean, you know, you are going to have the ignorant, the innocent. So, what do we always say? I know Adam said it. We don't know where it really came from. That we are 1/3 Tory, 1/3 Patriot, 1/3. Oh, well, I don't know. Whatever.
True blue.
I don't care.
Right.
So, you know, there are certainly enough people whose lack of engagement, let's just maybe put it that way, for whatever reason, just puts them in a position. Well, I should say what my neighbor says, because otherwise he won't invite me over for the next picnic. And that seems to be enough of a deterrent for some people to take a stand on something. So I don't know at what point you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, here come the innocents, and they're saying, would you please help us? We were led down the wrong path. That's going to be difficult. There's going to be difficult choices ahead, Minotaur. Very, very difficult ones.
Well, I concur that there's going to be difficult ones. And by the way, the people that are behind this, they know about Superior Foods in Denver. They have to know about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to make it illegal. So for this guy to say that he didn't even know, the president of the executive president of the company didn't even know until the week before the reporter from the Denver Post showed up at their door going like, hey, do you know about this petition? They didn't even know about it. Which also suggests what? Secret societies. This is subterfuge here. This was clandestinely done, albeit they had to file it in, I guess, with the city council or whatever, in some sort of a public forum. I don't imagine that there had to be, because it's a citizen-led initiative, that there had to be any debate over it. So basically, they operate and are operating under the cover of their shepherd, under the cover of darkness.
And I wonder how many, you know, just like voting, exactly how are they going to even bother to verify signatures? You know, let's go to an address where there's 900 people living there, and we'll just sign all their names. I wouldn't even believe, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't, well, I don't hate to say it, I wouldn't even believe that the whatever they get, signatures they get on the ballot are even going to be verifiable or necessarily true if they need to fabricate them. So, here, you know, there it goes.
Yeah, just to recap, if you're just joining us, we're talking about an ordinance that seeks to get on the ballot in Denver, Colorado, to ban all meat processing facilities within the city limits. And there just happens to be the largest lamb processing facility in the United States in the city limits in Denver, Colorado. And that facility supplies almost 100% of the lamb that is sold in grocery stores and restaurants in the state of Colorado. So this is a direct assault on the people of Colorado. I mean, if you don't live in Denver and you're not one of them, this is a direct assault on you, which is, again, the ballot initiative in the six counties in the north. I need to go back and revisit that and find out the names of the counties. They're the ones that are closest to Wyoming. Those ballot initiatives, I don't think that they had expiration dates. The five counties that voted no ought to be passing petitions around right now to get it back on the ballot as soon as the next vote is up, so that they can go on the record that their county wants out as well. And then don't sit there and wait for Denver to let you go, you people in Northern Colorado. Just leave.
If they tell you they're not going to vote, they're not going to vote in the affirmative, inform them, and it doesn't matter to you. Their law is not valid where you live. Dan, I think this is ultimately, you know the founding father story as well as I do. This is ultimately what it's going to come down to. The Declaration of Independence, the Lee Resolution on June the 8th, basically, and the letter that went out from Congress from Harrison, the secretary that day, to all 13 colonies was, look, your representatives in the Second Continental Congress think it's a good idea to sever our political bands with the state of Great Britain. But what did these tell the states that they needed to do? Form your own governments.
Write your own constitutions
and form your own governments, because you can't just say you're leaving one without something in place to replace it, right?
Yeah, it has to be a structure. There has to be a good structure. It has to be a structure. So, that's the first step. But just like my dinner with Andre says, we got to get out of here. The question is,
where to go?
and they're going to keep. There is something to be said about, no, we have to stay here and make a stand, and then there's also suicide. On the other hand, where do we get boxed in? Where do we make our stand? What did Captain Picard say? We draw the line here.
Here. No further. Here and no farther.
I don't know the answer to those questions, Senator. I really don't.
Well, they
keep me up at night sometimes.
I don't have all the answers either. I mean, I have some of the answers. I have some ideas. But I also... So back in the day, they called it, I called the movie The Spirit of 76 because it kind of was the spirit. But in the 1770s and the British colonies here in the United States, you had situations where there had been royal governments. They didn't really answer to the king. The king had representatives in every state. And in Virginia, you had Lord Dunmore. And New Jersey, in your state, Benjamin Franklin's son, William Franklin was the royal governor. Who was the guy that was in Massachusetts that fled? I'm trying to remember his name now. So each state kind of had its own kind of rural representative. But they had set legislatures up. Virginia was the Burgesses. There was assemblies. They had one in Maryland. Every state had it kind of its own government. So I think that is, and we do too. But what if your state government is corrupted? Well, then I guess you have to go to your county, and then you better start getting go about the business of meeting Mr. Kimball and finding out who your county. What was Kimball's character? Did he work for the ag department or for the state?
They said state because he always they never identified the location or the state.
That's right.
Always that little enigma. He would drive in on his truck or his Jeep, and it would just say State Department of Agriculture.
State Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, that's all it is. State.
And then Oliver would go, Mr. Kimball, you can't grow that kind of crop here in this state. And Kimball would go, you can't? the guy knew nothing.
What state? Yeah, he made that character. One of those undefined things you read about it. That was his name, Alvy Moore, I think was the actor. And he watched the first two or three episodes. He actually was semi-serious, and then I said, this isn't going to work. So he created it.
Made him the absent-minded ag guy. The absent-minded game warden or whatever. Yeah, it was good. All right, we're going to wrap up this episode of Free Farm Friday, because we are going to say the litany to the Sacred Heart. And thank our farmers, Mr. Koch and Mitter Mundy. Mitter Mundy, up in mid-New Jersey, I imagine you were in full swing of summer now, right?
Finally, yeah. Even last week we still had weeks down in the 40s, but we finally got some nice hot days and we're getting some rain. And it's amazing. You put the things in the ground and they sit there for a week and it says they don't look like they're doing anything. And then in 2 days they double in size. It's absolutely amazing how this works and how nature pushes forward when it needs to and when it can. But we are finally are finally in what I would call summer, since I can actually sit out on the deck and take that last hour every evening, which I insist on doing as long as it isn't pouring rain, and have a cigar and a bourbon.
Well,
or gin and tonic I had last night.
It is supposed, if it doesn't rain this afternoon, it's supposed to get up to 96 today. And the heat index, I saw it 2 days ago. I don't know that they've changed it. The heat index, if it does get to 96 with the humidity that we have, the heat index is, let's see here. I'm going to give you the heat index. The heat index is going to, well, we're under an excessive heat warning today. Severity is moderate. Alerts in effect. Okay. Dangerously hot conditions with heat index values today of 110 to 113 expected today, and 112 to 116 tomorrow and Saturday. it's hot. I went out for my rosary walk this morning, and I got my phone up this morning, and I went, that can't be. So it was so unbelievable, Dan, that I rebooted my phone, going like, all right, you're wrong. You're wrong, Colonel Sanders. My phone told me this morning at 3:45 a.m. that it was 82 degrees. 82! And I went, no, that can't be. So I went out, I'm going to go ahead and do my walk. You're going to ask Maggie. I came back. My shirt was soaked. It was 82 and it was 93% humidity. I came back panting, hot, shirt drenched from my top to bottom. All I did was walk a block.
But you grew up there, mature. You're used to it, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tommy's going like, you never get used to it. Well, you kind of do, because when I travel north and I get into the mid U.S. or whatever, the humidity is not enough, and I almost need to go to hospitals and get an IV to get my hydration back. I can drink 30 freaking kegs of Gatorade or what's that? Under Armour. What's the stuff called? Body armor. Body armor. It won't matter. It won't matter. I will still feel like after 3 days in New Hampshire that I have been walking the Sahara Desert. Yes, Tommy.
I'm just thankful I'm not climbing around attics or in roofs right now pulling phone wire.
Yes. Well, no one's going to be working this afternoon. not outdoors.
Well, I don't. My daughter went to school down there for 4 years and stayed down there. When she came back to the Northeast, yes, it was an adjustment. She explained how hard it was to come back to the cold Northeast. But
yeah, well, it's not just the cold; it's the humidity, and your body is in it all the time, and when you leave it. Your body's going like, "Hey, man, where's my saturation? I need my liquid." And which is why I bet you, teams that are in the deep south here, the Saints and Cowboys and whatever those homos are in Houston, Texans and what have you, when they go to travel and they got to go for an extended 3 or 4 day or two and a half, 3 days, in the north there. Their trainers are probably hanging jugs in those guys. They're probably getting IVs, because you just can't drink enough to get yourself acclimated. You just can't.
Nope, I fully believe that. So, hey, good luck, sir. I know you need to get to your to finishing the show here. So good luck and
thank you very much.
Stay cool.
I will try and stay cool. All right. Thanks, Dan. God bless you. Next week, we'll have another Free Farm Friday. Same farm time, same farm channel right here on the Crusade Channel. All episodes are available at Crusade Max. That's M-A-X. CrusadeMax.com.